You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Who you are, oh forever, forever, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, this is who you are. Darkness, my God, this is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, this is who you are.
Thank you, Lord.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God.
God, we lift you up. You're worthy, Lord. You're holy, Lord. You're worthy, Jesus. Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy of everything, Lord. You're worthy of our entire life, God. You're worthy, Lord. Father, I just thank you this morning, Lord, as we focus on you, Lord God, that we're taken up, Lord God, to the third heaven, Lord. We're taken up, Lord God, into your throne room, Lord, where you are seated high on the throne, where you are high and lifted up, Jesus. We focus our attention on you, Lord. We focus our affection on you, Lord. And Father, I just believe, I hear this morning you're releasing anointing for breakthrough, anointing for breakthrough, anointing that breaks every yoke, Lord God. Everything, Lord God, that everyone in this room, Lord God, has been contending for. Lord, in your presence, it's everything we need, Lord. We don't need anything but your presence, God. We don't need anything but your presence, Lord. And I just pray, Lord God, that we could just connect with you right now, Father, in a powerful way, Lord. As we look to you, you are our good Father. You are a good Father. You are a powerful Father. You are the Lord of lords and the King of kings, Lord. I thank you that this morning every demon flees in the name of Jesus. Every stronghold breaks in the name of Jesus, because your name is holy. Your name is mighty. Your name is valiant, Lord. Father, I thank you right now, Father, for whatever we're contending for today, Lord. Father, even if it's just to know you more, even if it's just to have more of your presence, Lord, there's breakthrough right now, right now, right now. And I'm just hearing, raise a shout of victory, church. Raise a shout of victory, church. Victory, Lord. You are victorious, God. Victorious over all the power of the enemy. Victorious, Lord, over every mountain. Victorious over every need. Victorious, Lord. Father, even when we have no voice, Lord God, the rocks will cry out, Lord, because you are a victorious warrior, Lord. So I thank you for your breakthrough this morning in every life here, that as we walk away from here today, we will not be the same, Lord God. Our lives will not be the same, Lord God. We just lay down everything right now. We lay down everything, Lord, our whole life, Lord God, our heart, Lord God, our mind. We lay it at your feet, Lord. Every situation, we lay it at your feet, Lord, because we know, God, that you're going to move in that situation, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that today, Lord, there's an increase in anointing, Lord God. Father, anointing for breakthrough, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We receive it by faith, Lord. We receive it by faith, Lord. And I just break off all unbelief in this place, Lord. We just repent of any unbelief, Lord. Father, there's breakthrough today for an increase in faith, Lord God. I thank you, Lord. Just release that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're releasing keys to victory right now. In Jesus' name, Lord. As we press in, Lord God. Father, we're going to see see heaven. We're going to touch heaven. We're going to go to heaven and bring down, Lord God, what you're calling us to bring down and release on this earth, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that there's no sickness in heaven. There's no sin in heaven. There's no sorrow in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven, Lord. But in heaven, Lord God, is everything that we need, Lord God. So thank you, Lord, today, just for your release of breakthrough, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's keep singing out. You're the breaker, the way breaker, the promise keeper. Let's sing with everything inside, because we agree with you, Lord. We agree with you, Lord. We agree with you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. You're the way maker. Sing it out. Come on. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
Light in the darkness, my God, this is who you are.
Light in the darkness, my God, this is who you are.
Father, I thank you that this is a moment, Lord God, where you are building something in us, Father God. Where, Lord, where we are able to go farther and further than we have been before, Father. Lord, where you are igniting within us, Lord God, the strength, Father, and the passion to believe you, Father. To believe you for the words that you have spoken in our hearts, Lord God. Father, to believe you for the impossible situations, Lord God. Father, for you have said, Lord God, that nothing shall be impossible for those who believe, Lord God. I thank you that you are the God of the impossible, Lord God. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that every impossible situation, Lord, represented in this body, Father God, bows to the name of Jesus. Bows to the name of Jesus.
to the top, Lord God, because you are the one, Father. You are the one who brings the breakthrough, Lord God. So, Father, we stand here, Lord God, in your presence, Father, and we say, Lord, we are going for it, Lord. So, Father, we lift up every impossible situation, Lord God, that is represented, Father, in our hearts, Lord God, in our body, Lord God, in our family, Father, in our country, Lord God, and in this world, Lord, we lift them up to you right now, Father, and we say, Lord, come, Lord, come, Lord, and bring your breakthrough, Father God, come, Lord, and bring your change, Father, come, Lord, speak your words into the situation, Father, and Father, I thank you, Lord, that every word that falls upon our heart right now in this moment, Lord God, that we say yes, Father, we say yes, Lord God, and we will charge, Father, up to the top of the mountain and over the top, Lord God, because you are worthy, Father. You are our Redeemer, Lord God. You are our banner, Father. And Lord, we love you, Lord. We love you because you are awesome.
Darkness, my God, this is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, this is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, this is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, this is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, this is who you are.
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 This is who you are. Never stop. Never stop working. You are. Never stop working. You never stop working.
Everything in your hands, Lord. Everything that feels and seems impossible is not. With you, all things are possible. For those who believe, all things are possible. So, Lord, we thank you for the belief in this house today. We thank you, Father, that you make a way for us because you're the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper. This is who you are. And we will believe and think and receive nothing else other than that. Because we've been chosen, God, by you before the foundation of the world. We are chosen and rooted and grounded in your love. You have a plan for each one of our lives and our loved ones, this nation, God, and everything that's been going through our heart as we've been singing out to you. We're believing today. We're agreeing with you today. We're in joy and peace today. That there's no weapon formed against us that can prosper. None. We thank you, Father, that anything that rises up against us, you raise up a holy standard of righteousness. And we say, Father, that we are seated next to you in heavenly places, God. Because when we came to you and said yes, we were co-crucified with you. We were co-buried with you. And we were co-raised and are co-raised with you. We say yes for that divine union today, God. And we'd say yes and amen, and we believe it, God. Exchange the unbelief in our heart for true belief and faith in you, God. And nothing will stop us. Nothing will stop us. Nothing will stop us because nothing can stop you. And a heart that's filled with you and a soul that resonates with you is unstoppable in the mighty, powerful, matchless name of Jesus because of your blood. Oh, God, we say thank you for that. Oh, Lord, just let it come out of your mouth. Let's thank the Lord God for who he is, for the salvation that he's released here and all the way around the world that we've seen. God, we thank you, Lord, for the testimonies of your faithfulness, God, that ring all throughout the world, God. Let it be, God, for your glory, for your name's sake, for the Lamb's reward. Thank you, Lord. Build up this mighty working faith inside of us. Build it up, oh God. Let it come. Let it come out of our mouths, out of our lips, out of our thankful, grateful hearts, God. Less thinking, more drinking of your presence, God. We drink in your Holy Ghost presence right now. Come on. Let's praise him and thank him. Let's hear the thankfulness rise up. We praise your name, God. We thank you, Lord. We're so blessed, God. We're so blessed, God. Hallelujah. Let it come, Lord. Let heaven resound with our praises, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Let it come up and out. People are resurrecting all over the world. The Lord is bringing life in the dead places. He said to Lazarus, come forth, leave the grave clothes behind. Come forth, come forth. That's us today, God. We speak resurrection, life, and power for those who can't do it on their own, God. We release your resurrection life, your resurrection power. Come by your Spirit, Holy Ghost. God, I'm unshakable. Oh, yes, God. Yes, God, let your angels resound with the mighty warring cry of victory, God. Our friends yesterday who blessed us and came received a book called Chosen, and it said, what would happen if you reminded yourself of the gospel every day? Every day, Paul said, I want to know nothing but Christ crucified, and that's all he preached. Is that who we are? Is that who we are? Is that who we are? If that's who we are, let's be on our feet and let's agree with heaven, because that's what he's saying right now. Let's be on our feet. Everybody on your feet. Children on your feet. Oh, yeah, God. Lord, we declare and we decree today. We declare and we decree today. That's who you are. And you said that's who you are. So we say yes, God, to the beauty of the gospel of the kingdom that has come at a great price to you, Father, and a great price, God, to your Son, Jesus. And who, for the sake of the Lamb's reward, said, it's worthy, Lord. It's worthy. It's worthy of my surrender. Your plan of love is worthy of my surrender. So we thank you, God, that you shake us right now with your beautiful love, your affirming heart, your kingdom ways, God, that we will not go back to religious ways. We will walk in the fullness of the resurrection power that you've released to us, and we will take it, we will run with it, and we will not stop around the world. That's who we are, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This is a place where shame leaves, guilt leaves, condemnation leaves, fear leaves, control leaves, rejection leaves, depression leaves, loneliness leaves, abandonment leaves. Thank you, God, for the great exchange. We elevate you. We decree and declare today that those who you've called, those who you've chosen, shall walk in the fullness and come into your heavenly heart. And we thank you, God, for those of us who are your intercessors and your lovers on this earth. We're running, Jesus, and we're not looking back. Let the dead go bury their dead, you said, Jesus Christ. So we say we're alive, Lord. We are not dead. We're alive. Let's speak it out. Let's sing it out. We're alive in you. Come on. Come on, worship team. We're alive in you. We're alive in you. We're alive in you. We're alive in you. I'm alive in you. Come on. Come on. We're alive in you. Come on. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I have a charge for every parent in here that this song right here, and also what Kim sang out, I dare you. It's my charge. I dare you to make this the call of your heart when you go home, when you're in the kitchen, when the kids are in the bathtub, that you help these kids sing out who they are. Do it. Do it. That's my charge. That's my dare. I'm asking that you would do it, because these little ones, they need to believe and they need to know so that they will sing from their heart. And some of you have little ones who are singing randomly. Yes, that's great. That's great. They also need you. They also need you. Okay? They need you. They need to sing with you. They need to know that you're not afraid and that you're going to sing out and they're going to model you. Amen? Who says yes and amen to that? It's my charge for grandparents too. Come on. Come on. Amen. God bless you. Let's give God a big shout. And thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Jesus.
Amen. Come on. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Woo! What a day. What a day. Thank you, Lord, for gift of Christmas. Come on. Thank you for all the friends who are here today. Thank you that even more will come next week. And we know that the Lord has plans beyond yesterday. And he really does. And we're just asking him how to do what he wants to do. Amen. Lots of healings yesterday. Lots of salvations and many miracles. How many of you loved that yesterday? Come on. The Lord can heal a broken heart. He can heal knees that were in bad repair since 1988 and many other things and bring people into his family. He loves desperation. He loves desperation. Okay? Desperation for him. So praise the Lord. So I just want to say thank you to Cynthia and others who got this book chosen. And I love the name. Thank you, Sin. I've not read it yet. But I picked it up this morning that says, what would happen, which I already read to you, but let me say it again. What would happen if you reminded yourself of the gospel every day? I'm telling you, every choice would be different, or at least affected. Every choice. Every choice. Okay? Every conversation will be affected differently. Every conversation. Every conversation. Amen. I can't wait to read it. I'm going to take one right now. Amen. So I'm going to ask you guys to continue to pray for our new friends. Who's here from Gift of Christmas that just came yesterday? Oh, I see. Just be on your feet, you guys. Come on, we want to give you a big cheer. On your feet. Whoa! Come on. And your kids, let's go. Whoa, yeah. Come on, woo! Hey, hey, Jesus! Look what you've done. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love it. I love it. Oh, this is so good. Welcome again. You are family. We love you guys. Wow. Is this a good day? Okay. Does everybody know everybody's name? Shout it out so people can be on your feet, you guys, again, okay? So people could come up and say, "Woo, George, it was good to have you here. What's your name?" Everybody. Matthew. Matthew. Let's hear it for Matthew. Am I? Jeff, let's hear it for Jeff, Matthew, Jeff. These are great names.
Josh, Leo, Grace, Blake.
Wow, the whole family. Josh, Leo, Grace, and Blake. Hello, guys. James, I know. I remember your name. James. All right, you guys. That's awesome. Okay, well, we're going to see more people coming because we had a slew of people saying yes and amen to Jesus yesterday. So thank you guys for helping and serving and preparing and being here and cleaning up in the whole nine yards. It was really glorious. Thank you. It was not an event. It was an opportunity, right? And the Lord showed himself strong. Amen. So thank you to all those who put their hearts and lives on the line. So if you were involved in any way, shape, or form, it's everybody in here. Thank you, Frontline, for Gift of Christmas. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you guys. You're amazing people. Love you so much. And somebody has something to say, because I see a bulletin in her hands. I don't know what it is.
Good morning, everyone. Just want to highlight some happenings this week. Wednesday is our anti-human trafficking prayer lunch hour here at the church from 12 to 1. So join us for a prayer where we just gather together to agree for many things that are happening in our community regarding anti-human trafficking. Friday, there will be healing rooms here from 7 to 8:30. So please come if you need healing, if you know somebody who needs healing. There will be a team here ready to pray and minister. So that's on Friday. And then next Saturday, we will be doing our community Christmas outreach, a.k.a. Cookies and Caroling. So we will start here at 12 o'clock. We'll have a light lunch for everyone, and we'll divide out and head out to an area in our community. We've been in Canton. We've been in Maslin. We're working those details out, but we'll be heading out to bless the community with our beautiful voices and the sound of Jesus through our ministry to them. We'll hand out cookies, we'll offer prayer, and we'll just spread some joy because that's a good thing to do. So there'll be a sign up in the foyer at the end of service if you can sign up so we can gauge how much food and how big of a group so we can prepare accordingly, okay? So then after our outreach will be our Frontline Family and the Edge Christmas party, all happening together at Jordan and Carly's house. Yes, so it's always really fun. There's Carly, and there's Carly. So please bring a dish to share. All are welcome. We will all enjoy Christmas, love, and fun together. So that's all next Saturday. Yes and amen? So what's happening on Saturday? I heard truth in there. I heard truth. All right. Well, thank you, guys. And children? Or there's more. Okay, there's more.
But this is about testimony, okay? Listen, you guys, when I was in Walmart yesterday, I always like to call people by their names. I can't remember it right now. But this wonderful friend who came last year, he looked at me and he goes, "Hi, Wes." Yes, thank you. He goes, "How's your foot?" I said, "What? Oh my gosh." He looked at me and he remembered that I had the big boot on from a, you know, injury that kind of happened. Remember that a year ago, Cote d'Ivoire? But anyway, I was up here and, you know, I was preaching and praying and all that for healing, and I got this boot on. And somebody says, "Hey, you got this on." I said, "I know. Jesus is touching me." So anyway, he came up with a back problem last year, gave his life to Jesus, back problem for Wes. And he started running around this whole place. Who remembers that? You guys remember that? Come on. So he told me. I said, "Wait a minute, this is testimony time. How cool is that? You got saved last year?" I said, "What are you doing back in Refuge of Hope? What's going on?" And he said, "Oh, it's, you know, just happened recently." I said, "Well, we're going to believe," which happened yesterday. "We're going to believe that that cycle is ending for you in Jesus' name." Come on. Isn't that awesome? So he gave his life and heart to the Lord to whatever degree, I don't know, last year, but I do know that his back was healed. He'd still healed, and he had all these cycles broken yesterday. Amen. So that's a good testimony. Next testimony, and it came to me when Cynthia was talking, and I don't remember who was there. I think Isaac was with us and some of the Larson kids, but we were walking in one of the housing places during this cookie caroling event, which is always nice to sing and give cookies. But do you know that anybody can do that? Anybody can do that. Do you know that anybody can take cookies, knock on a door, and sing Deck the Halls? Who believes that? Yes. Anybody can do that. No, I'm talking people who don't know Jesus can do that. Who believes that? Okay, so when you carry him, as we prayed and sang this morning, God does something on steroids. So there was a lady who knocked on her door, and she was going to have surgery on her thumb because she had carpal tunnel. And she came to the door. Who remembers that? I was part of it. Oh, Levi remembers it. Come here, Levi. Okay, you remember that? Do you remember what Jesus did?
He healed her thumb.
He healed her thumb. Did she have to have surgery after that?
No.
No. Ha! Come on! This boy remembers that. He was right there. It's really cool that his mom remembers. I like that too. That's really good. But Levi remembers. Okay, bring your kids next week. They carry miracle working hands. Amen? Come on. And we're going to believe for testimonies of healing, deliverance, salvation with the cookies and caroling. It's just not knocking on a door, singing Deck the Halls or whatever. Maybe Joy to the World. It's we step in because we can. This is the time of the year that God really opens up the hearts of people, and we saw that last night. So let's do it again next week. I just wanted to share that testimony. That's really cool. Amen. Okay. Is there any other? Andy, you were up here. Did you need something? Okay. Are you okay? Oh, my gosh. Amen.
Pay no attention to that tripping man back there. That's fantastic. At least in this house, you don't take yourself so seriously where, you know, some people might actually get really embarrassed about that. I'm fine. The Lord is good. I'm fine. I'm really fine. It's the hazards of sound editing. It's crazy. It's a real violent world out there, you know, you gotta watch it.
Listen, join the team. He needs help. How many want to help Auntie? Come on. Oh, there's a hand.
I see those hands. Oh, the Lord is good. Thanks. I'm really concerned. This isn't any. Okay. So, really, it's actually something very practical and very simple. Is that right after church, if we could have some strong men and if ladies are feeling strong as well, we need to load up all the tables and chairs into the box truck in the back. So we would love to help you, have you help out with that. And then also, even though we didn't have First Friday in December because of everything that we just did yesterday, just sticking it in your ear for First Friday in January 2020. It's going to be an amazing night, so just stick that into the midst of all of your... I don't have my phone on me, but third, that is the mission training weekend. Yes. So we will navigate those waters amazingly and be blessed.
Real quick, for our new friends, we will have lunch to go for you, provided after the service. We have lots of wonderful food that is left over from last night. So make sure that you don't hurry out to your transportation too quickly after the service, because we'll be providing lunch boxes in at the back.
And we want you new friends to come to the Frontline Christmas party, too, if you'd like. And somebody will figure that out, so, you know, you're invited and grafted in. Amen. I'm just so excited from last night. My gosh. Oh, how many of you were just left here going, wow, Lord, you're amazing. Just a couple. Come on, did you guys really? Was it just so great? So great. Thank you, Lord. Thank you guys so much. Okay, it's time for kids. You get to go the whole time. Run quickly before we change. She knows. Lena flows with me. She's so good. She knows. Quickly go. Then you're free. I saw that laughter, Carl. I saw Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you're kidding. You're done? I expected the roll. Can you pass those out for me?
So we ready? Oh, well, that's about three of you. So are we ready? Father, we thank you, Jesus. You're here. You're ready to teach us. We need you, Holy Spirit. You say you live inside of us. We're your temple. You chose to live inside of us, Father, and teach us if we know you. We're here ready to receive from your word. It's your word. It lasts as long as you do. Jesus, it continues to minister to us. We need your word. We need your spirit to speak your word to us, to interpret your word to us. We're here, ready. We're just children. We're learning. We're ready. We're disciples. We're learners, ready to receive and change. Every time we approach your word, Lord, we should change. Jesus, you want that. Holy Spirit, you want that. Father, you want that. You're in agreement. You want us to change, to be more like you. Father, you can energize that inside of us. All we need to do is say yes, 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 and step into your grace, and we can change. Father, let that be our hearts this morning. Inspire that in our hearts this morning, Lord. Help us not to be resistant. Help us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Help us to flow like we did in worship, Father. May this be worship to you as well. Worshiping you through receiving and changing to be more like you. Father, we put away a critical spirit. Father, we put away a judgmental spirit. We just look at ourselves and we say, Lord, search me. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I'm ready. Search me. Point out what you want to change before 2020. Jesus, change me. Rearrange me. Turn me upside down. Shake me out. Clean me out. Purify me, Jesus. That's our prayer this morning, Lord. We give you all the glory. You're the only one that deserves the glory. You're the only one that deserves honor. We honor you. We bend our knee to you today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh, a little stronger. Amen.
Amen.
Look at that. I knew it was in you. So, as is my custom, got up this morning and I used a mirror. And I looked, as I typically do, and I kind of look on top just, you know, by faith. See if anything's going to change. And then I look at what's crooked. My nose is crooked, has a deviated septum. My teeth are crooked. There's a lot on my face that's crooked. I'm hoping that in my heart and my spirit, I'm not crooked. Even though there's things on my face that are crooked. So then I make sure that I shave this just perfectly right, because I know there are a lot in here that if there was a hair like growing out, like one long hair, I would never hear the end of it. So I make sure I chop down all that stuff around there. Make sure that there's nothing hanging off of here. Double check. Shave with my shaver my whole head. And, you know, this takes a while. For some of you, it takes quite a while. For me, it's a little less because I don't have a whole lot to do on top. But we need to look into the mirror of the Word, don't we? Not just look into the mirror for our vanity's sake. So in James, as you know, we've mentioned this a number of times, but it's apropos here for this message. In James 1, 22 through 25. Let's take a look. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. You know, the Bible and life itself shows us that there are those that look into the mirror of the word and they change. They go out to the nations. They go out to the neighborhoods. They go out to places and they do good works. But they can only do that under the power of the Holy Spirit. So they must be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Because we can have all the good intentions. There were some that said they were coming yesterday to Gift of Christmas. They were going to help out. And they sent in notice of that. And where were they? They weren't here. They just said they were coming. They had good intentions to come. But they ended up finding something else that hit their radar and they didn't show up. So we can do that with the Word of God. We can look at the Word of God and say, yeah, that's me. That looks like me. That smells like me. That's something I need to see in my life. But then we can walk away from it and end up not following through with that. And that's the key to life, isn't it? Key to the Christian life. Are we going to follow through when the Holy Spirit provides everything that we need to follow through? Are we going to be a person that follows through? Are we going to be a person that lives life in the light of eternity? Lives life under the power of the Holy Spirit? Lives life aligned with heaven? Is that our heart? Is that our desire? Do we follow through with that, not just with good intentions? There are many people, even some people that we've met recently, that they say that they want to live for Jesus, but it's a different Jesus. As we mentioned in the message last night, it's kind of a paper, plastic Jesus. It's a different Jesus than the real Jesus. You know that all over the world I speak of Jesus having 700 names and titles. You're probably tired of hearing it. Too bad. It's going to be said over and over and over again. Jesus repeated himself, I'm going to be his disciple and repeat myself. 700 names and titles Jesus has. Now, that puts him far and above any other option to worship. But there are people that take lesser options. One of the lesser options would be the faith of the Muslims. They only think of Jesus as a prophet. Too low. He's God. He's powerful God. Hindus, they might add him to 300 million gods, 30 million gods, take your pick. You might add them too. But you don't add Jesus to anything. You don't add him to a list. Jesus is far and above, far and away, above anything, any other person, anything else that you can worship. We'll take that question afterwards, okay? So Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you are high above anyone else that we can worship. That means you deserve our life. Because most people don't have a problem with Hinduism or Buddhism or Shintoism or the Muslim faith or any of that. They don't have a problem with that. They have a problem with worshiping themselves. That was Satan's problem, wasn't it? He looked at himself and said, hey, I'm a good worship leader. He should have just continued worshiping God. But instead he started looking at the created one rather than the creator. And typically, people start out doing that in life. They look at themselves first, and then they realize, oh, I have a father that created me. I have a creator that created me inside my mother. He's calling me home. And those of us that respond to that call can begin a life with him forever and increasing in the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us, increasing in applying the Word of God to our life, looking into that mirror and changing. It's all about changing. It's not how much of the Bible you know. I know plenty of people that know the Bible more than me. But I know a lot of people that don't do what I do. Follow Jesus. They spout off all kinds of things about the Bible, But, you know, if you just lived what you knew about the Bible, it would be the start of pleasing God so much, doing his will, looking into the word and saying, I want to change. I need to change. Not looking at someone else that needs to change, looking at me. I need to change. And if you do that continually, you end up on a path where you start to align with God. You start to align with heaven. So I've met plenty of people that can tell me all that they know about the word. But I need to know, do you know the author well? Do you know Jesus, the powerful Jesus, well? You can preach the word, you can teach the word. Are you out there in the streets living the word? Are you contacting people in your life and living the word of God? Are you going to the nations or to whoever you're called? Maybe it's the streets. Maybe it's your family. It's probably bigger than what you realize because he expands your call. Some people say, well, I'm only called to speak to my family. Well, your family just grew bigger because Jesus always expands his call for you, especially once you start to be obedient to your call. He expands it. It always increases. It has to be over our heads, or it's almost like Jesus isn't pleased. Because we have to be able to trust him. We can't be handling a ministry and thinking, I've got it all handled. We have to have something that's way over our heads so that we have to constantly come to him and say, Jesus, I need more of you. I need to be connected closer to you. This is way over my head. I can't handle all of this. And he says, I'm here. I'm here. I will empower you. I will strengthen you. I will be with you. So much of life has to do with looking into the mirror of the word and saying, yes, I want to change. Looking into the face of Jesus and saying, I want to be more like you. And so in the Bible, on your sheet, it gives all kinds of different comparisons. And some of these you've heard before. Wheat and tares, narrow gate and wide gate, sheep versus the goats, good kind versus bad kind. That's about the dragnet. I don't know why it doesn't say fish, but we'll have to look into that. But it's good kind and bad kind. Good fruit versus bad fruit, wise man versus foolish man, good and faithful servant versus the unprofitable, wicked, lazy servant. That's about the talents. Natural, spiritual, carnal man, and four soils. So there, many of them are just two categories in life. Are you the wheat or are you the tares? Tares look like wheat. They grow up with the wheat, but they're not wheat. And when the harvest comes, the tares don't produce the kind of fruit that you want. And that's when you find out which is wheat and which is tares, is at the harvest. So Jesus says he's only going to take in the wheat. Narrow gate versus the wide gate. Many people want to do the wide gate and act like it's the narrow gate. I'll just live life on this wide plane with me making all the choices. And when I need Jesus, I'll pull him out of my back pocket and he can help me out. That doesn't work, obviously. Sheep versus the goats, you know, that's at the last judgment day, the sheep are going to be separated from the goats, and the sheep are going in. The goats are not going into the kingdom, into heaven, into being with God. These are serious, serious things. But it's, you know, if you go down through this list, you say, if you're a real believer, if you've looked in the Word of God and you're changing and you're following Jesus as a disciple of his, you know who you are. There are people in our city, our surrounding area, they teach you cannot know this. You cannot know that you're a real believer. Just this past week, I had some people get upset because I used the term true believer in a group of leaders. And they were upset with that. They don't want to hear that. True believer. Now think of that. That's serious. But the Bible has no problem with it. Wise man versus the foolish man. Let's Let's go to that one. We're not going to go through all of these. You can do that as your own special study, but let's go to Matthew 7 and take a look at this one because it explains so much about our lives. I think you'll identify with it. Some of you are very familiar with it. Matthew 7, that's still in my New Testament. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Someone will deliver one to you, I guarantee it. You'll be so surprised it'll be delivered right to your seat if you raise your hand. Look at that. Delivery, it's on its way. It won't be a pizza. It'll be better. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Some of us have gone through a beating at certain points in this past year. You've had the rains come, and the floods come, and the winds blow, and they're beating on your house, but you're on the rock of Jesus. You're on the rock of the Word of God. You're standing on Him, and you're not being moved. You're not being swept away off the rock. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Jesus taught with authority. We should speak more and more as we grow in the Lord with authority, obviously, with the love that comes with that. That's the responsibility. This morning I hope to speak with authority, but I want love behind it, that you increase, that you as a believer go beyond Pastor Mary Pat and myself in your growth and in your ministry, to build you into a weapon against the enemy, against the enemy that would steal the seed out of people's hearts, and that you will be more prepared than we ever were. That we fought the battles to get you to a higher place, to a greater place in God. That you'll take more territory in the kingdom. That's the plan. That's why we still go on mission trips overseas. We've got some building into your lives to do still. We're going to get dirty with you. We're going to get sweaty with you. You're going to see what it looks like when we're tired. We're not going to hide away as pastors, as leaders. You're going to see the dirt on us. You're going to see the challenges to our heart and spirit and how we deal with it. And where we fall and flounder, we throw ourselves on Jesus just like you do. So here is the dichotomy, if you will. It's the foolish person. Now think of that. The Bible calls people foolish when they will not accept the rock and stand on the rock of Jesus. Some of us have been there, haven't we? Well, all of us have been there, haven't we? At one point in our life, we were stupid, foolish, far from the Word of God. And He drew us in. He called us home. He said, come home, my son, to my heart. Come home, my daughter, to my heart. I'm willing to put you on the rock. And when everything hits you, you still will stand because I will make you stand. I will give you everything you need to stand. So that's one of the descriptions in the Bible. You can see some of the others that went before that one. But the couple that we want to spend a little bit of time on is Matthew 13, the soils. That's the bottom one. Interesting that a lot of these are just two. Wheat, tares, narrow gate, wide gate, sheep, goats. Good kind, bad kind, good fruit, bad fruit, wise man, foolish man. There's usually just two of them. But with this one, it's four soils. So what do you think? It's going to be a little bit more specific about two categories. I like D. details. And so it's going to be more detailed about the two categories. Matthew 13, verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood there on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then there's some verses about the disciples going, "Huh? What are you talking about? I don't get this. Help me out. Oh, what's going on here? Duh, duh, duh." That's us. Without the Spirit of God, we can't understand what this is about. We really can't. So when you look at the disciples and they're kind of befuddled, confounded, that's us. We need the Spirit of God to make these things real for us. So start up in verse 18 again. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower." Jesus is going to explain it. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart." Have you been there? I've been there. I grew up in a Baptist church. They preached the word every week. They asked for people to come to Jesus almost every week. And at 5 years old, my Sunday school teacher led me to the Lord. And then a few times after that, I was led to the Lord. You know, first, once saved, always saved, twice saved, better saved, you know, three times saved, you know. So I had a lot of saved. And I would have dreams at night and about hell, and I'd get saved again. And I'd have dreams about, you know, what I was doing as a young person, and it wasn't matching up with the Word of God, and I'd get saved again. And I remember in that process starting a group called the Bongo Boys. And there was twins in this group. And for the first time, I don't understand why, but my parents decided I could go about 60 miles away and stay with these two people for a weekend. My parents didn't let me stay with anyone. And they let me stay with these two guys. I don't know what they were thinking. You know, they had a lapse. Parents have lapses. My parents had a lapse. And they let me spend a weekend with these guys. And fortunately, we were too young to do anything really bad or ugly, but we sure talked about it. And I remember feeling convicted that I should tell them about Jesus. Now, I wasn't living for Jesus. I was having all the conversations with them that they wanted to have. And, of course, we were dreaming of becoming this great group with the name Bongo Boys. That didn't seem like it was going to go anywhere, but I didn't know it, and they didn't either. I couldn't play guitar. They couldn't play their instruments, so I don't know what we were thinking. But I remember inviting them to know Jesus, and they prayed with me to receive Jesus. I didn't even know him. But I had that desire to pray with them to receive Jesus. And then right after that weekend, I lived any way I wanted, and they did too. So God was faithful by his word when I was in the Baptist faith to convict me, and sometimes convict me even to tell others about Jesus. But I wasn't convicted enough to live for him myself. So I can identify with this soil that the enemy just comes and snatches it away, what was sown in my heart. They sowed it in my heart. I remember people lovingly telling me about Jesus, and then there were some that didn't, but they were trying to get Jesus to me as a young person. And the choir teacher just gave her life all the time to have people sing for Jesus. And yet,
that pretty much was snatched from my heart because I was willing to let it be snatched. I just let it be snatched by the enemy. I wanted to live my own life more than I wanted to live for Jesus. Verse 20, but he also who received the seed on stony places, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. At 13, I was baptized. Now you would think, with all that comes with baptism, and all that they say over you in baptism, that you would go ahead and live for Jesus after that. But it didn't take much persecution for me. I just saw how Christians were treated in high school, and I thought, I don't want any of that. I don't want to be treated like that. I don't want to be known as a Christian, because then people will laugh at me. People will make fun of me. People will say things behind my back. I want to fit in. I want to be cool. I mean, I had hair like the Beatles, so, you know, come on. I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be fit in. And so it didn't take much persecution for that word to be pulled out of my heart. So all these soils can be our process, right? They can be an individual process, or they can end up being an individual person that they settle on being one of these soils. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Cares of the world wipes out a lot of believers in Christ. Why? Because they put their faith in a change in circumstances. I believe that God's alive and he's real and he's powerful and he has 700 names if my circumstances change. If they don't, he must not be that powerful. He must not care about me. He must not be that real. And the cares of the world take over their profession of who Jesus is. Or it might be they go after a different goal. Deceitfulness of riches is just one of the goals that people can go after. You can start saying, well, okay, this worked okay for now, up to this point, being a Christian and everything, but hey, I've got to go out there and get as much as I can. I must get as much from the world as they're willing to give me, and I have skills. I have abilities to make money or whatever the temptation is, and they start going after that goal rather than seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things be added unto them. Nothing wrong with riches being added unto you by Jesus, but if you go for the riches above seek first the kingdom of God, that's not having it added unto you by God, and that's a problem because you'll get wiped away with your strong faith. If it ever was strong, it can get wiped out by a goal of riches, right? Or some other goal in life. So the cares of the world, the burdens that come to our lives, that can wipe us out because, hey, my circumstances should change. I know God. And if they don't, well, you don't deserve my loyalty, God. Or it could be I go after a different goal than what God had in mind, which was himself, and he will add things unto us that he desires to add unto us. Doesn't mean we shouldn't work hard at our jobs or professions or whatever. It just means that shouldn't be our goal. When I was teaching, I thought of Jesus as the superintendent. When I was in the work world, I thought of Jesus as the CEO. I needed to please him above whoever was in charge. And that always seemed to work well because I kept in mind he's the one over this company. I want to bless the company, not just bless me. If Jesus is over the company, I want to live for him and speak of him in the company or wherever I am employed, that he should be the one that I am the ambassador for more than a person who works at this company. But he who receives seed, verse 23, on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Good ground. So we have the hard ground. We have that's the wayside. We have the stony places. We have the briars, the thorns, ground, and we have the good ground. Four different soils. You can work through those as an individual, or you may be settling for a particular soil. Maybe some of you recently have been so discouraged, you wondered if God really cared for you. And he is more than willing to come to you and show you that he does. And some of you are facing circumstances that don't seem to be turning around. He needs to be the rock and not the sand that you stand on. People that work, you know, try to work with God over circumstances, whether my circumstances change or not. So often the impossible does become possible. But sometimes there are things that happen that we don't understand. And God, we have to turn to God and say, you know, I still believe in you. I still trust you, even though I don't understand these circumstances. I don't understand why this came against us, and it worked. It worked. It seemed to work. Our trust is in a loving, compassionate Father, and that's where the good ground goes forward. It produces fruit then. Because sometimes we need comforting. Many times we need comforting in our own lives. And if we spend our time being comforted by sources other than God, if that's all that we do, then we'll spend a lot of time being comforted. But if we receive our comfort directly from Jesus and others, adding on to that, if our comfort actually comes from the rock, comes from the one that we stand on, the one that we turn to at all times, the one we come into the presence of, the one that we worship with our whole heart, mind, soul, emotions, everything in us, we worship him. That's a different life, because you will be comforted rather quickly. It won't take years. You can be comforted by him rather quickly because he has joy that can get under that and push out all the pain, all the challenge, all the trial. And the joy is there, and you can't believe that you're in joy over such circumstances, adverse circumstances. You can't believe that something went against you, something came against you, and you had joy in the midst of that trial. You can't believe it. How can this be? That's when you know that you're one that is the good soil, the one he's poured into and continues to pour into. You know, you can't just throw a seed out there, right, and have it grow most of the time. Or if it does grow, you're like, oh, wow, look at that. It grew. You're shocked. Usually it takes a lot of preparation of the soil. It takes a lot of, attention. And that's what God wants to give to us. He wants to plow up the fallow ground within us. The things that are their old habits, old sins, things that haven't been able to be taken out of our life. He wants to plow that up, plow that fallow ground, that hard ground up so that it's able to receive the seed. And then he wants to water it. He wants to fertilize it. He wants to take care of it like a gardener. He spends time taking care of it. We're the ones, if anyone, that chooses not to have him do that. We put a hand in his face. Oh, no, I don't need any more help. I got this one, God. I can take care of this. And then years down the road, we find ourselves in a place that we didn't think we should be. So I know that most of you already are the good soil. You're receiving and so on. But there are those that might be somewhere in this process that none of us are aware of. You're aware of. God's aware of it. and he'll speak to you about it. Maybe the cares of the world have kind of overtaken your life in this year, or you know those very close to you where that's happened. And now you'll have a different heart praying for them or praying for yourself. Only people on the inside, only you on the inside might know what's really going on, whether you're being overtaken by the cares of the world, or maybe you're being tempted towards this goal in life that's just not God's goal for you. He's able to point all of that out, take you through the process of the soils rather quickly to get to the good soil, be the good soil that receives everything from him. You say, well, I just haven't been that open this year. I've opened up to a few things, but I don't want to risk everything to open up to Jesus. I'm sorry, there's no option. I said, I'm sorry, there's no option. In order to be the soil that's good, you have to open to all that Jesus has for you. All that he has for your future, for your destiny. You have to receive it. You can't put a hand up selectively to some things and other things. You say, okay, go ahead. And other ones, you put your hand, oh no, God, do that one, but not that one. I don't want to be that challenged. Oh, you know, it has to be
arms wide open, as the song says. We have to be completely surrendered. If you want to go
all the way to your destiny in Jesus, you have to be completely surrendered to him. That's what we asked people to do last night. Completely surrender yourself to Jesus. Maybe you've tried the halfway. Maybe you've tried Jesus in your back pocket for when you need him. You pull him out and he's there. He's going to help you. But that's not the way that the soils work. That's not the way that the Bible works. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's the natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man. And ladies, you know that that works for both genders. First Corinthians 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. This is the Apostle Paul. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. How open is that? Now, you know Paul was not a wimp in the spirit. But he's admitting weakness, fear, much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I hope from this pulpit, we don't usually call it that, so it seems kind of funny, pulpit, that you have been challenged to enter into the power of God, to the presence of God, always, from the speakers that come up here, and it's not just me, obviously. That our speech and our preaching, I am declaring and believing that they're not with just persuasive words of human wisdom. Not to just sound good to you so that at the end of the message you say, wow, that was a good message. That was a good message. You know what helps me when I get finished with a message is just seeing people kind of like stunned before God. They're like, I don't even know what to think. I don't even know where to go from here. What just happened here from this message? I would rather have that than have people come up and say, hey, that was a good message. That was a good message. Hey, that was a good message. I would rather have them hearing from the Holy Spirit at the end of the message and having to carry that hearing out the door, because that's what will really make change, right? Not persuasive words, not human wisdom, not some kind of razzmatazz with the message, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. If there aren't miracles happening in this place, You know, how can we say that God is here for sure? Because everywhere Jesus went, there were miracles. So how exciting to see last night people putting their hands up saying, yes, I was healed. Yes, I received Jesus as my Savior. I want him. I want to live for him. I want to be attached to the one that has 700 names and titles. I want him in my... That's a miracle. So we saw miracles last night. That's exciting. I want that to continue. You know, a lot of churches, they start to see that and then they... You know what I mean? Said, explain it. They kind of come in for a landing when they should still be flying. So I don't want that to ever happen here. We should be flying higher and higher, seeing more miracles, more demonstrations of the Spirit and his power, never leveling out, always seeing more, going for more. Now, in certain seasons, this may not look like it. I'm talking about overall. More. We're going to see more from God. We're going to see him act more in miracles, signs, wonders. But not seek those. Continue to seek after him. I'm getting off my topic. Anyway, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. If you're listening to the news, there are a lot of people giving a bunch of wisdom that will come to nothing. Let's not get won over by some of that wisdom. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. God has a wisdom that you have to seek for. You can't just sit and receive. You have to seek along with it. You have to go for it. You can't be in the river, the lazy river. Just lay in the lazy river. We have to be actively after God's wisdom. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Does that sound higher to you? It's always going to be higher and greater and more when it has to do with your Father. It's never less than going downhill, scrimp, less, no. Always greater. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So when we keep saying Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, it's about Holy Spirit, being in contact with Holy Spirit, listening to Holy Spirit, being in the presence of Holy Spirit. It's because he came to live inside of us when we became a believer. We should have an ongoing conversation, an ongoing relationship with the Spirit of God within us, and he will always identify things in the Word that will change us, that will encourage us. We'll be able to understand what the Word is saying because of the Spirit of God. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Oh, I skipped a verse. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Don't feel bad about spending 5 minutes in the presence of someone and realizing they are not operating by the Spirit of God. If you're caring about people, you're loving people, you're not just out to be critical and nail people to the wall or feel better than them or something. It's part of what's built into us by the Spirit of God to discern who is operating in the Spirit of God and who isn't. And they might be speaking things to you that are spiritual things, in a sense, trying to convince you. We've had situations overseas where we start to pray over someone and they go down in the Spirit, and we start to pray over them some more and they start to speak. They manifest a demon, and the demon says, "I'm good. I'm good. You don't have to talk to me anymore. It's all been taken care of." Through them, through their voice, they say, "I'm good." But we have to discern whether they're good, whether they're really delivered from the demonic activity that's inside of them. So we're listening to the Spirit of God, because we can't figure that out ourselves. I said, we can't figure that out ourselves. So we have to ask the Spirit of God, is this really right? Are they delivered? And oftentimes the Spirit of God will say, it's a demon lying. You need to continue to pray for them. And as we continue to pray for them, sometimes they start shaking, or they start manifesting, or they cough, or they choke, or, I mean, 100 different things can happen to them, proving that the demon is still there. Now, why did they say they were good? Because it wasn't them. They were cooperating with the demon, and the demon says, "I'm good. I'm talking real spiritual stuff here. This happens. This is some kind of fairy tale." And so we continue to pray for them, and oftentimes they are released from that demonic activity. And then they're in peace. They're in real peace. The God kind of peace. And you can identify that as well with discernment. So don't, you know, feel bad about discerning that in someone when they come up and they say, "Oh yeah, I've always loved Jesus. Yeah, yeah, I read the Bible. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know about the Bible. Yeah, you don't have to tell me about the Bible, because I know the Bible. I really do know the Bible." That someone needs help. And it's a push away from God helping them. A push to a representative of God, one of us maybe. You have to press through that carefully. Through that push. They don't even know that they're pushing you away like they pushed God away. You have to discern that and love them enough to go past that no to what they really need. And I know some of you are increasing in that. I know I've increased in that. I used to stop at the no, and then Pastor Mary Pat would come up and go past the no and minister to the person. I go, "How'd she do that?" So I observed how she did that, and I do that a whole lot more than I used to, because we can learn from one another. So there's a spirit of the world, there's a spirit that's of God, there's a natural man, and there's a spiritual man. That's what we've covered so far. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. If we're in line with the Spirit of God, we can use discernment to help people. And we can't be afraid of it. "Well, you're judging me." No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm loving you. And they may not believe it, but you might be able to, in a conversation with them, because God will give you what you need to say to them, get to the place that they're willing to receive from God. So I guess my encouragement with this is, press in a little bit to people. Don't accept what they say at first, because many people just have a defense to begin with, a wall that they shoot up. We have to let God bring that wall down so we can really help them. You with me? Hear my heart? "And I," this is chapter 3, "and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal." Can you imagine if on a Sunday morning we started out with, okay, spiritual people sit over here. And maybe the natural people, you know, kind of take this part of the row and this part of the row. Okay, carnal people over here. Carnal people over here. Okay, everyone in the spot you're supposed to be in. Okay, and then we preach to you. So that we know who's who. And you know who you're identifying as. And we could preach to those three different groups. But the Spirit of God does it anyway. In this group this morning, there are those who are operating under the Spirit of God. There are. Isn't that exciting? You're supposed to be cheering. And there you go. And then there are those that tend towards the natural, or maybe they pretty much live life by the natural. The natural man, natural wisdom, the thought comes to their head, they say, well, that must be God because I thought of it. That's got to be God because I'm a Christian and I thought of it. I can't tell you how many believers follow that way. They don't check with the Spirit of God. They aren't in communication with the Holy Spirit. They go with this, and because they're a Christian, oh, it must be okay what I'm thinking. This is what we got to do. Makes sense. Makes sense. Makes sense. Most of what happens with God, I don't know if you've noticed, doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Why would he come and live inside of us? That's nuts. That doesn't make any sense to me. Never will. I love it. But it doesn't make sense to me. Why did he entrust us with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as ambassadors of his? Does that make sense to you? He's got angels that'll do his bidding. Boom, boom, boom. They can go all over the earth. And they can't preach the gospel. We preach the gospel. I mean, for one thing, it's too slow. Half of us are trying to get over our inhibitions in preaching the gospel. That takes a while. Some of us are just chicken-hearted. That takes a while, getting over that. Some of us do it from the mind. We have to get over that. I mean, by the time you're preaching the gospel, that's slow. Slow. Why would God do it so slow? You send those angels. Preach the gospel. Makes no sense to me. Much of what happens with the Holy Spirit makes no sense to me. Why does he lead me to say certain things to people that are uncomfortable? In China one time, he led me to say to a person in front of me, I see question marks all over your body. Now, why didn't he have me give him a verse? That makes sense. Why didn't he have me give my testimony to him? That makes sense to me. But to say to a person, it looks like you have a lot of question marks all over you. I see question marks all over your body. And he didn't say anything. Well, there was an interpreter, so he had maybe he just didn't want to do that whole thing. I don't know, but he didn't say a word. So I go on to the next person, and I don't remember what I said to the rest of the people, but I remember that one guy, and the leader came up afterwards, and he said, that was the perfect word for that guy. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me. He said, no. He was the leader of these younger people here in a tea house, because they work in the tea house so they can get trained to be pastors. And they came to this conference that we, a couple people, myself included, were at, and they said, why don't you give each word? And I wasn't real familiar with that or hadn't stepped into that much at that point. And I give this word, and he said that was perfect for him because he has so many questions whether God still loves him because he stepped away from leading all these younger people. And he just went off the rails. And this is his first meeting back. And he had all these questions on his heart. Am I still loved by God? Am I still, you know, in the family of God? Am I still a Christian? You know, will God let me be an example again, or is it the end? And so this guy I know took it from there and said, do you know Peter in the Bible? Do you know Peter? Remember Peter? Denied Jesus three times. Jesus restored him and said, here's your ministry back. That's what a loving father does. And I'm sure that that guy with his heart could take it from there, but he was just glad this young man heard directly from God through me to him something I didn't understand. And it's just amazing when we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us to touch people. We don't understand it always, but God has it on his heart to do that through us. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? It's just an example here, and it goes on about the Apollos and Paul and all of that business. It's just an example of you get off track when you're thinking carnally, when you're thinking for yourself, but you're saying it's for God. I don't like what just happened here, so I'm going to cause a problem over it. Rather than get healing from God or admit to other people, please forgive me, or receive someone when they say, will you please forgive me? I'm going to stand on my own, and I'm going to be my own person, and I'm not going to accept this. They need to change. They need to be different the way I want them to be. In this case, they wanted to say, I'm a Paul. I'm not of Apollos. He doesn't measure up. I'm a Paulite. And the people with Apollos said, what's wrong with Apollos? He's got a lot of gifts. I like Apollos. It's like when people say to me, so which worship leader do you like the best up here out of all 8 worship leaders? Which one do you like the best? And I say, the one that's leading worship right now. The one that's leading worship. Whoever's leading worship at that time. They're God's chosen person to be the worship leader. And it's the same with this. We shouldn't be trying to be or follow one particular person in the body. We're following Holy Spirit together. And each of us have our roles. Each of us have our things that we need to step into to meet our destiny. But we shouldn't be comparing and contrasting and, oh, I like it when Pastor Bill speaks rather than when Pastor Mary Pat speaks. Or I like it when Pastor Mary Pat speaks and not when Pastor Bill speaks. Or I like it when someone else speaks than either one of them. You better like it when the Holy Spirit speaks. And if the Holy Spirit speaks, you're going to hear it from every person up here. Or we wouldn't have them come up here. And I wouldn't come up here if I didn't have something to say to you from Holy Spirit. If it's just from this, I hope you disregard most of it. Other than the jokes, laugh a little bit. I want every person in here to be the spiritual man and woman. That's what we're trying to build in Frontline, always. Not let you get into natural thinking. So when we challenge that inside of you, that's not comfortable, is it? To hear you might be following natural thinking in a particular spot or a particular thing. And I'm not real comfortable with it when the Holy Spirit does that to me, challenging my natural thinking. And I'm really not comfortable with it when it's Pastor Mary Pat challenging me. I'm a fellow pastor. What do you mean I'm thinking naturally? How could that be? I'm a fellow pastor with you. I'm a fellow leader. What do you mean? And then the Holy Spirit's like, she's right. You're following natural thinking on this particular decision. It's going to affect Frontline and the future of the world. You better get in line with me. We're all being changed. You with me? And we want to be changed to be spiritual. We want to be changed to be the good soil. We want to be the wheat, the narrow gate, the sheep, the good kind, the good fruit, the wise man, the good and faithful servant. We want to be these things. And it's going to take each one of us challenging one another in order to get there. And not getting into the carnal where, well, that hurt my feelings. I'm going to go on Facebook and let somebody know. And I know that no one in Frontline will read it. And so I can just say it like it is. It's incredible. People who think they're anonymous and they're just laying it out there. I don't know where that came from, but they just lay it out there and they think they're being anonymous. So he is going to take each of us to a better place. Raise up this sheet if you have it, and if you don't, just raise up your hand. And let's declare together. For 2020, I am going to be wheat, narrow gate, sheep, good kind, good fruit, wise man. Wait a minute, did the women say woman? Good and faithful servant, spiritual. And good soil. In Jesus' name, depending on Jesus and Holy Spirit and my cooperation with all of them. Three in one. One made up of three. In me. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise. You don't have to follow this. We give you praise for every person here, every life here. God, with just this number of people in this room, you can change the world. And you have changed the world because of their lives. I am privileged. Pastor Mary Pat is privileged to know each one of them, God. And Father, we believe that you're going to teach all of us to take things farther, wider, higher, deeper in 2020. We're starting early. We're so excited. We're starting early, God. Usually we wait until the last Sunday of December, whatever that is. But God, we're starting early. We're believing big. We're believing in big dreams for your kingdom to be expanded. Jesus, we submit ourselves to you. We give our lives to you, Lord. As those people gave their lives last night to you, God, they said they were giving their full life. We say the same thing today. It's the same for us. We give our whole life to you. Father, we don't want carnal thinking. We don't want natural thinking. We don't want selfish thinking. We don't want mind thinking. We want thinking of the Holy Spirit inside of us, teaching us every minute. Leading us every minute, putting words in our mouth that we don't even understand. That's being spiritual. That's being aligned with you. That's being the good soil. We want all of this, God, and only you can bring it about in our lives by our willingness. We bend our knee to you, just as we said to those last night. Bend your knee only to Jesus. We bend our knee only to you today, God, and say, go ahead. Go ahead and do what you like to do. Activate all your 700 names and titles inside of our lives. You don't need healing. We do, Jehovah Rapha. You don't need to be provided for, Jehovah Jireh. Provide for us. You don't need peace. You're peace itself. Jehovah Shalom, bring us peace and joy and grace, all by the power of the Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And as we enter into this, deeper into this Christmas season, God, that we would just reach out to love continually. Gift of Christmas wouldn't be the end. It'd be the springboard. We would love in our families. We would sacrifice for those in our families, friends, co-workers, students, fellow students. God, we would just go ahead and love beyond our limits because you will empower it, Father. Thank you, God. Help us see the person in front of us and give them everything that you want to give them through us. Lord, go past the no to the yes, Father, if that's at all possible. And show us where they're not ready, that we can step away as well, God. You will lead us. You will guide us. You will show us. And so many miracles will be done in your name, because that's what you're all about. And Father, let us seek you and not all the amazing things you're doing, saving people, delivering people, Father, healing people. Jesus, we pray more healing on those that are in need of that this morning, God. We pray Jehovah Rapha oil over their heart and their lives, Father, over Diana and over anyone else, God, that we know of, God, in this body, over Mike McRae, over anyone else, God. There are many that need healing, God. We're not going to be able to mention them all, but Lord Jesus, you know who they are. You will go to them, God, in the name that you love to exhibit, Jehovah Rapha, God, their healer, God, your healer, Jesus. Go ahead. Do what you love to do. We're not begging. We're not beggars. We are sons and daughters. We're in your family. It's part of our inheritance, Jesus. We have seen you do so many things around the world. Go ahead. Do what you love to do in each of these situations and heal. We are not orphans. We are not beggars. We are sons. We are daughters. We are those that are ambassadors for your name. Jesus, go ahead. Show yourself strong in each of these circumstances. And God will stand on you as the rock. We don't want to go to the sand, the shifting sand, God. We go to you as the rock, and we allow faith to keep us there. Faith that you even give to us as a gift. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.